It's here we go with another episode, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Zach Simony. To my right, I have Jabbar Harris. This is our fourth episode together. And unfortunately, our other sidekick partner, Joe Lopat, is booed up in San Diego for another night.
Shucks. Where you at, Joe?
He's probably down in one more shot of Patron right now.
That Southwest flight this morning.
And the Patron died.
I can't wait to hear another Southwest story from him.
You know, he actually almost missed a flight again. He sent me a text while I was at work. Part 8 with Southwest. The flight might be delayed or canceled because of fog in San Diego.
San Diego's perfect weather.
So, you know, that's...
He gets caught in the fog.
Yeah, but they got there, and I'm sure he's got some more good stories for us here. But we're going to go ahead and touch on a few things like we always do. We've got the usual fantasy topics we're going to talk about a little bit later on in the show. But let's go ahead and I know we've got some topics we want to talk about first. We had another trade involving the Browns and the Eagles, and there was two guys on this list. Really, for fantasy purposes, do you think they have any value at all? And how do you think that shakes up their teams now, Cleveland and Philadelphia, by trading Jerome Harrison for Mike Bell? Mike Bell's on his 8th team in the last 2 years.
Yeah, he's more of just, you know, a journeyman running back. But Mike Bell is just a running back on the roster. He's not one who's going to get many carries. But James Harrison going to Philadelphia, they already have Sean McCoy.
Yeah,
but they need that other guy to split carry with them. Mm-hmm. He's not someone you want to run the ball 20 times a game.
No.
And just catch him balls in the passing game. So.
Yeah, and they've been wearing him down pretty good. Yeah. He already has those rib injuries. And
yeah, these last couple of weeks, he's missed some practice here and there. So it's only week 5 or 6 going on right now. So you definitely need him fresh for the late season playoff run. So I think getting Jerome Harrison is a big deal because he can take away about 8 to 10 carries a game.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think he has that fantasy value still? Because when he gets a few carries, he has one of the best yards per carry average in the league. What is it, 6-7 yards per carry?
Yeah, but I don't know if he's someone you want to start. Maybe keep him on there if you have some injuries later in the season.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely want to start him.
No,
I don't really want to play him either. You just kind of want to keep an eye on him. No, if you lose a back or two or back or two to injury.
He's definitely a depth guy to have in your leagues right now. But... for value, we can't forget about the situation in Cleveland. Now, Peyton Hill, he's got three rings now that he doesn't have to worry about Jerome Harrison, Mike Bell.
Mm. Exactly. So, Bell's going to get 5 carries a game.
Do you think Peyton Hill can be a bruiser, top 15 fantasy back for the next 2 years?
I think definitely for this season, I have to see the path it takes in the draft. Because they're changing things in Cleveland. I know they're...
changing? What have they changed the last 5 years?
They're going to start changing things. They want to win. I mean, I think Cole McCoy is going to be the starter for next year. He's getting the start this week, obviously. Mm-hmm. Peyton Hillis is a physical back. I mean, last week, instead of the 5-yard line, he ran over somebody. Or nothing. I mean, he's a bruiser. I mean, he was good in Arkansas. He just had McFadden and Jones in front of him. So, he's the fullback, short yards guy. And he had a few balls out of the backfield.
Do you see him making that shift when Cleveland goes after running back, switching to fullback like Mike Anderson has and some other guys we've seen in the past flourish?
I can see him being somewhat of a power third down guy because he's a good receiver out of the backfield.
Mm-hmm.
I think he can be that future third down backup, split carries kind of back. Now, would I want him as a full-time back, like just the only guy in my backfield? No. But if I had another good back to go with him, you have that nice 1-2 punch. Plus, he's a good receiver out of the backfield.
Yeah, that is very interesting. I mean, you got guys like that. You really don't want to have to rely on them, but guys that need to rely on them, you can put them on your teams, see what happens, because the injuries are bound to happen. They're bound to happen, and you want to have a guy that can start. So definitely, if you have McCoy and Peyton Hillis, you want to have that insurance, handcuff those guys, make sure you have them. When we just touched on the Browns there, we're going to talk on another trade here in a second, but Colt McCoy is starting this week. Their third starting quarterback this year. Things are getting really ugly in Cleveland. And we saw how they played in the preseason. Do you think these last 4 weeks in practice will help him against the Steelers defense?
I mean, I guess Seneca and Jake are that hurt where you can't play them.
What could be wrong with Jake Delhomme's ankle?
I don't know. 3 or 4 weeks. I don't know. I just don't think they have faith in him. But if those guys are healthy, you have to start against Pittsburgh. Yeah. I mean, throwing your rookie quarterback out in the fire against Pittsburgh.
No, did not Jake Delhomme have a setback with that ankle?
He re-injured it during the game. They say it might take a few more weeks.
Oh man!
But who knows with Mangini? He's trying to save his job, so. But Cole McCoy is not the answer against the Pittsburgh Steelers defense. I mean, they eat up young quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Josh Rubin, who's having a good year, looked horrible against these guys.
Yeah.
And now you start Cole McCoy, who his first couple preseason game just looked horrific. Now, he finished his last one against Chicago going 13-for-13, but that's against third stringers.
Yeah, who? I mean, I think it might be a toss-up between Colt McCoy and Ty Collins and the worst starting quarterbacks of the year.
I think Ty Collins wins that hands down. He is the worst quarterback I've seen in years.
And how is he in the league for his 14th year now, or 13th to 14th year?
Because he's been a third stringer. That's how.
Unbelievable. Well, yeah, it's going to be an ugly, ugly week up in Cleveland, so... They've lost LeBron James, and now they get to start a rookie
quarterback. It's Pittsburgh.
Colt McCoy. Oh, man. But there was another trade, and this has to do with New England going and getting Deion Branch to come back to their system. Do you think he jumps in right away and revives his career, or do you think the 4 or 5 years away and the injuries have added up and he's going to just be a non-forgotten guy buried on the roster?
I think this week they're going to throw him in there. He'll get a few catches. They're going to force feed him the ball a little bit, get his feet wet. But I think wait a couple of weeks, see how this one turns out, because he's been gone for a few years.
Yeah.
But was it the system that made him the Super Bowl MVP? I mean, he had about, a dozen catches in that game?
Yeah.
So maybe it's that Patriot offense.
Yeah, they paid him money.
They did.
So he's going to want to show something. He's 31 years old. He's got a Wes Welker still not. He's not going to be number one receiver. Brandon Tate's young. Julian Edelman. It's more of the tight ends now that are going to get the production for the Patriots. But I think Deion Branch can be a deep threat and an intermediate guy. He can do all the things that
I think Tate's going to be more of their deep threat. Branch can do it, but I don't know if he can do it consistently.
Well, as far as a guy that's fantasy worthy in the red zone, when they're trying to stretch it inside the 15-yard line or so, I think Deion Branch is going to have that better value. Because that's where he flourishes. The few highlights he's had in Seattle has been in that asset of the game. So, Deion Branch, I would say, wait on him a week.
Just wait about a week. I mean, they're going to force feed him 3-4 catches in this game.
Yeah.
Just get his feet wet. Just wait a week or two, then jump him if he's looking good still.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And this week they play Baltimore.
So. Welcome back.
Well, Baltimore's defense has been a little shaky this year, to be honest with you. So I don't know if it's that bad of a matchup.
I think Baltimore's defense they play to a team who they're playing level. And they play Cleveland.
Hey, they play for 1,000 yards.
But then they play week one against the Jazz. When they play a big time opponent, they get up for those games. And when they get up, they play like the Ravens defense. It's just the thing with the Ravens is their DBs are kind of questionable.
Mm-hmm.
Without Ed Reed back there, McCouser's gone. The guys they have, Darius Webb is a good player. I like him. Yeah. Really good player there.
Yeah.
Other than that, the other guys, no one who's special.
No.
Me.
Well, and then let's pass that segment there. Bye week teams. I mean, I was trying to think, who are the bye week teams? I didn't even see anybody. It's because these teams suck.
Yeah.
Buffalo Bills, Cincinnati Bengals, Arizona Cardinals, and the Carolina Panthers.
I'm just doing this division.
We're touching on that. I just did the NotJustGeek.com rankings yesterday, and the four teams in that division are ranked 25 or lower in my rankings.
I don't disagree with that.
Arizona Cardinals, the first one, the 25th.
That.
So, well, we can talk about that real quick, as Texas Players, president comes out with that text to Adam Scheffler saying that he guarantees that they're still going to win the division. And even before he said that, I was looking at the San Francisco schedule, and they've only played one game in the division that first blowout week against Seattle.
Yeah.
So that's 5 other games. They're going to start Max Hall. Seattle's banged up. And Matt Hasbeck gets worse as the season goes on, you know, Matt. And then they get the
St. Louis with
practice squad receivers.
So yeah, that's Leighton, that knee injury, that hurt the team a lot of the passing game.
So if they can even go 4-1 and somehow go 500 in the other games, they're right in the thick of it.
Yeah, nothing is that bad. We're 8-8 can win it.
Yeah.
I mean, the Cardinals, who knows about them? I mean, Jerry is still out. Max Hall did all right for him. He got the quarterback. I mean, he made a few mistakes. But, I mean, he did better than Derek Anderson, who throws games away.
If you're in that boat, as Coach Wisenhunt, you've tossed your team back and forth with these decisions. You had veteran Matt Leinart you let go, probably be starting right now. So you're forced to start Max Hall, rookie free agent quarterback, who won a game he had no business winning, fumbled the ball 2 or 3 times, started throwing 2 or 3 picks,
yeah,
and he didn't lead the offense at all. The Saints
even stepped up and saved them that week.
The Saints handed them the game. So if you're in a position 3-2 in the bye week, what are you comprehending as Coach Wisenhunt? How do you go forward?
You got to improve that running game. That's the first thing you have to do. And this Maxwell doesn't have a strong arm, really. You have to, you know, change the pattern of offense to where it's a lot more checkdowns, short deacon dunk offense.
Don't make it down J. Peebler style.
Yeah, that's what you have to do. You have to deacon dunk it. Your offense is going to be explosive like it has been these past few years with Kurt Warner running it. Yeah. It's going to be a deacon dunk, ball control offense. Let's let our defense bring it home. That's what it's going to have to be for them in that division.
Why do you think there are so many Max Hall believers out there?
Because he's from this area. That's why, you know, they feel they know he's a local. But, I don't know. NFL isn't college anymore.
Yeah, definitely not. Injuries keep plaguing teams, and one team that has been hurt real bad right now, Green Bay Packers, came in with high hopes. Every week they've had somebody go down, Ryan Grant, Michael Finley,
Aaron Rodgers.
So, I mean, even Clay Matthews got hurt, he's probably going to be back, but this is not what you want to see with your stars getting...
Yeah, this team had high hopes. I mean, they were talking about division and representing the NFC and the Super Bowl. And to lose Jermichael Finley, who was a phenomenal young tight end.
Yeah.
Such a mismatch. Yep. I mean, safety's just too big for him. He's too fast for linebackers. He's pretty much an oversized receiver.
And this is a team that struggled to win games, and it came back to bite him in the ass this week. They're up 13-3.
Yeah.
12 minutes in the fourth quarter, they allowed Donovan McNabb to get life, throw a perfect pass to Armstrong, and then they just couldn't capitalize. And I saw a stat. In the fourth quarter, they've been outscored 42-14. Does that tell you they just don't have that sense to kill teams, or that they're just reluctant, hesitant? What kind of word do you want to describe their offense and defense in the fourth quarter?
They're just overconfident themselves. I think they feel like they're going fourth quarter, they're going to score 1,000 points. They're not doing it. Brandon Jackson ripped off about his first 5 carries. He had over 100 yards against the Redskins.
Yeah.
Why is he in the game with, you know, just a few more carries? I mean, in that fourth quarter, just run until the game's over. They got to close games out. They're not closing any games out. They're in the fourth quarter, and they're still throwing the ball around. And late in the game, just moves the ball to the ground, extends the game.
Mm-hmm.
So you're 3-and-out more. You're getting those teams of offense, who's going to start running their, you know, 2-minute offense more alive. You're getting more tries, and these teams are scoring them.
Yeah. I mean, it was almost similar to the Saints, the way they play in the fourth quarter. And I don't know if they're going to be able to even make the playoffs. If these injuries are adding up, Minnesota's going to come on strong. And if they let another 2 games like this tinker in the fourth quarter, that puts them out of the picture in the NFC.
Yeah, these are games that you lose these games, but you should win. Late in the year, when you're 9-6 heading in that final week, you're like, man, if we could have won that game against Washington, we were winning, we'd be in right now.
That game against the Bears?
Yeah, the game against the Bears, but I don't mind that one. But he's starting Matt Flynn probably this week.
Ugh.
I mean, he is not
17 guy career passes
in the NFL.
17 career passes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's gonna be. I would not start him. I wouldn't start him.
He's not a capable backup. There are some teams in the league who have a good backup who can come in there for a week and do a decent job.
I believe they'll get Aaron Rodgers out there.
I do too. He has to be clear to the doctor Thursday, independent doctor. So.
Look at that throw. Unbelievable. That was a missile.
Yeah, Dominick Nabb is looking really good. Going for that Armstrong. That's looking like a little They have some nice chemistry between those two.
Yep.
Yeah. They bit Packers in the butt all last week.
Now, we never really touched on the defensive side of the ball that much, but Sean Merriman got a few weeks left before the Chargers are going to have to cut him. We haven't really heard of too many teams that are going to be looking for him, but obviously it's going to be a playoff team that is dinged up. Do you think it'll be somebody like the Packers that are hurting in the linebacker position, or do you think he'll go to an emerging team like Minnesota?
Well, Seattle lost Nick Barnett, and that's the inside. Merriman can't play that at all. He's a pass rusher.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think for Merriman, his best years are looking like they're behind him. The last 3 years, he had 4 sacks. And then his first 3 years in the NFL, he had about 39 sacks.
Yeah. Well, he's been hurt, too, so he doesn't have
the
field.
He missed the entire season just about 2 years ago. He's just not the same. He's not as quick anymore or as strong.
See, like, tequila beat his ass. That's
what happened, I guess. He lost that one. I said, look for him to try to go to a 4-3 team where he just played DN, maybe. He can still get up the passer a little bit, I feel, if he just, that's his only goal, is to rush the passer.
Or if the Jets sign him for the veteran minimum. You think LT will sway him there?
I think Rex Ryan get the most out of that guy. I mean, he's an aggressive coach. Merriman's only good at rushing the passer. So if he can go to a team where they don't have him, ask him to cover anybody or do anything like that, just go in there and get for that quarterback.
So do you think they just bring them for blitz packages?
Blitzes.
Yeah.
Pass rush only. Give him, you know, 20 plays a game. I think he can be productive that way.
Speaking of mismanagement, there was two factors in the Jets-Vikings game that nobody knew what in the world they were doing. First, offensively, they're throwing it twice when Minnesota didn't have any timeouts. They give them 153 on the clock to punt.
Yeah, tell us matter there. The clock was ticking down about, 20 seconds to about 2 minute warning.
Yeah.
Now, I understand it was, third down that time. I understand that you wanted to pass the ball, because you're trying to get a first down, there having timeouts left, and 2 minute warning's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to set the ball with about 2 or 2 o'clock. So that way, if you do throw an incomplete pass, second down. That way, if you do throw an incomplete pass, the 2 minute warning's coming anyway, so it doesn't hurt you. The fact is, they snap it with about 2:08 on the clock.
It just
threw an incomplete pass, and then third down, that's 2:02 on the clock still.
Yeah, it looked like they were just going for the. It looked like a college team going for the greed kill.
Yeah,
like,
just
one
score.
I'm gonna get this first down and just shove it up your ass. That's what it looked like.
Yeah, it's a press the posters with a blowout win.
Yeah,
but it's the NFL.
And then defensively, Rex Ryan has seen Brett Favre pick the blitz apart the whole game in the whole fourth quarter and then the third, and he decides to go blitz after blitz after blitz, and if Percy Harvin slides over an extra 2.5 foot. That's a catch, and he's running for 80 yards. What in your right mind? Why do you call blitz after blitz after blitz?
That's just his style. He's going to, his goal is to beat the quarterback.
And you're under 2 minutes with a team that has no timeouts.
Revis as well.
Wouldn't you let them catch the ball?
That's what I would handle. But knowing Rex Ryan, his style throughout the years, he wants to hit that quarterback. I mean, if I was Rex Ryan, I would have done one more zone blitzing there. That way you're still submitting pressure, but you have people out there recovering.
They weren't even up by
they were up by 2 points.
I just didn't understand the play calling. I mean, they won the game, good to them, but that's the type of thing down the stretch, if they're calling those type of plays or managing a game like that, they might lose and you can't.
I think the Jets were just shocked that they were up by so much, and a snap of a finger, the Vikings are right there again. Like, whoa, we were just killing these guys. Their offense wasn't doing anything the first half.
And you got to praise Brett Favre for the way he
came Moss. He kept throwing Moss deep, and it hit. That's kind of a deep threat receiver like Moss. The first 3-4 times could be nothing. The one time you hit it, it's a 60-yard, 50-yard touchdown, and you're back in the game.
Did you like Rex Ryan's post-game where he's like, I didn't want to put the red Revis on Ray Moss, so I didn't want him running 50 go routes, since that's all they're going to do,
running
50 go routes.
Moss's cast. Yeah, he had his playbook.
Yeah,
you gotta figure that's what they were gonna do. Let him run go around.
Cromartie
got to do it quite well against him. I think Cromartie matches up well against Moss, being the fact that he's about 6'2" as a corner and lanky anyway.
Yeah,
and he can run a 4-3, so he can keep up with Moss, and he's long and lanky, just like Moss. So that was a good coaching decision on Rex's part, I thought.
Yeah, that game was crazy, delay and everything. But let's go ahead and touch on the prime time game of the week coming up here. Minnesota vs. Dallas, 2-1-3 teams. Don't know where they're headed, but I'm a believer both of them still making the playoffs.
I believe we're in only really Minnesota.
Yeah, I think
Dallas is a ship is just sinking. Yeah. And I think Minnesota's still a little hungry.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If Dallas wins this game, Minnesota will be 1-4, and I still think Minnesota can make the playoffs. Will make the playoffs. Dallas, they're in the tougher division. Yeah, they're in a tougher division, so you really don't know if they're going to be able to squeak out more wins against Washington and the Giants that are emerging right now and the Eagles. So they might be in more trouble. But this is a pivotal game here. One of these teams is going to be 2-3, the other one's going to be 1-4. Now, Minnesota, they have some questions with Brett Favre's health right now.
Tavares Jackson. If Brett can't go, they have Tavares as a backup. Like I said, I talked about earlier, a few teams in the league have really good backups.
But you know Brett Favre's going to step out there.
Yeah, he probably could.
That quarter or two that he plays hurting his team could cost them this game.
That is true.
Do you think that he'll step out there and cost this team the game doing something like that? Or do you think that the Coach Childress will see that?
I think Coach Childress will pull him if anything goes south at all. You know, mm-hmm. I think Brad had a rough couple series. Brad started shaking that elbow, and Childress just going to pull him. But Brad didn't practice today, so we'll see if the fall back works this week. But they have Tavares Jackson, who's a capable backup. Yeah. And also, Dallas' O-line is really, really bad. I mean, Leonard Davis got pulled last week during the game because he just can't play in space. That Minnesota D-line is, you know, they're still good. Jared Allen's stats are a little down this year, but you don't always have to get sacks on the quarterback. You just have to get pressured, especially on Romo, and he'll start throwing the ball to your team.
One thing about Brett Childress that he mentioned in the post-game conference after the Monday night loss against the Jets, because he expects this offense to start doing more things because he doesn't believe in the defense or special teams anymore. He says the offense is going to have to manufacture more points and win games for them or they're going to be in trouble. So that means what are they going to do more? Either run the ball more with AP or live and die with Brett Favre throwing the ball down?
They have to run the ball more with AP. He's such a dangerous player. Mm-hmm. He's a home run hitter back there as well. Mm-hmm. Look at the way Chris Johnson ran over the Cowboys last week.
Yeah.
I mean, him and Adrian Peterson are the two top backs in this league. I think Adrian Peterson can do the same thing, same kind of things. You know, he'll get a couple, 2-3 yard runs. He can break a good 20 yarder.
What's Randy Moss's career touchdown stats against the Cowboys?
A loss. He comes up big. He's felt ever since that rookie year that they snubbed him on the draft, and he has made them pay.
He might be doing a Reggie Wayne Jacksonville style to the Cowboys.
He might. He's still not going to offense that well, so he's going to be running 50 go routes again. With a slant here and there. And Dallas' DBs aren't playing as well as they have these last few years.
No.
I mean, they just cut Ken Hamlin the other day.
Oof.
Yeah.
But don't forget, this is another reason why I like the Vikings. Their offense starting to come together piece by piece by piece. All of a sudden, in 2 weeks, they're starting three receivers, Randy Moss, Sidney Rice, Percy Harvin.
Yeah, I spoke to Vikings. I think they can still make the playoffs. Because they still have Sidney Rice coming back, hopefully in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And that's going to give them a talented core of receivers.
It's a team that probably can just start winning 8-9 games in a row.
They can get hot, but it's up to Brett and that arm.
Yeah.
I feel he should take a couple of weeks off, let that elbow heal up.
Because
DeForest can handle 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
He's a very talented quarterback.
They haven't had their bye week yet, have they?
No, not yet.
So,
they did
have it, okay.
Yeah, because Moss has to play the 17 games this year.
That's right, yeah. All right, well, let's go into one more segment here before we go into our fantasy segment. But we're going to touch on these teams that are just jumped out the gate. They've got great records, but as oftentimes happens in years past, these are the teams that start to sink and go on 3, 4, 5 game losing streaks. Denver did it last year. Kansas City's done it in prior years. There was another team that did it last year. Who was it? Jacksonville's done it plenty of times.
Yeah.
Houston's done it plenty of times. So this year we've got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 3-1, Kansas City at 3-1, the Bears and Atlanta Falcons at 4-1. Now out of all those four teams, I like one of them, and that's the Atlanta Falcons. I really like what they're doing, not just on the offensive side of the ball, but their defense has been stepping it up. They just have good balance. They have one of the best balance on both sides of the ball that I've seen in the NFL this year. They really impressed me against the Saints, against the Cardinals, and Michael Turner, slowly but surely, is getting rid of those injury issues. And last week he ran for about 140 yards, quiet, like
Yeah.
Quietly. And those receivers are just, Roddy White might be the best not talked about receiver in the league right now.
He's definitely top five now. He's played his way to that top five list with the.
But nobody really likes to talk about.
Yeah, the Falcons still are kind of somewhat boring team. But the Falcons need to wait until see what they do in prime time. I mean, they're doing their stuff on Sunday in the afternoon.
Yeah.
I got to see them on prime time before I can anoint them as a great team like I see the people doing.
So you're going to anoint the Bears higher than them right now?
As of today, the Falcons are a better team. They are a better team. The Bears off the line still scares me. But the Bears defense...
Jay Cutler does it?
No, I mean, he makes some dumb decisions, but he's going to make a lot more big plays than bad ones.
Tell me right now, would you rather have Kyle Orton as your quarterback or Jay Cutler?
Jay Cutler, hands down. I watched Kyle Orton start about 20 games. And believe me, he wasn't as bad as Rex Grossman, who made me invent
work. Kyle Orton is a totally different quarterback right now.
He's just fitting in that Daniels passing system. It's kind of like the D'Antoni system in basketball. It inflates your stats a little bit.
Really?
I mean, it's a lot of defense.
He's not throwing the picks that we've seen in those type of systems.
He does inside the red zone. He makes a lot of bad decisions. When they get to the 20, if you watch the Denver games,
mm-hmm.
he's not the same guy. You know, going 20 to 20, he's moving the ball against anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But he gets inside that red zone, he just doesn't make plays anymore.
Well, and also, a lot of running game.
Yeah, that is true. But against Baltimore, like, all his yards came garbage time. I mean, late in the half, they're down 17-0. Going Landry. Going Landry, I don't know what he was doing that play. That should never happen. Going right to the half.
Yeah, when I had Baltimore -7 with money on the line, that better not happen. But it did. So, speaking of that, you're going to Vegas in 3 weeks. Are we going to have some stories to talk about? Or
hopefully. Especially if Joe comes. That's a really good story to talk about.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be something else. Either way, we have some money riding. But a couple of those other teams there. Want you to talk about. Do you believe they're contenders or fake?
Fake as of this year in Kansas City and Tampa Bay. I mean, I like their young teams. I mean, they still don't know quite how to win yet. It's harder to do what they're doing for 16 games when you're so young. Kansas City with McCluster and Brandon Flowers at corner. They have a lot of good young players. Matt Castle's kind of, I think, he's not that good.
Yeah, he's right there with Carson Palmer.
Yeah, he's bad. But Dwayne Bowe, he's, I don't know what happened to him these last few years.
My gosh, he cost me money last year.
Yeah, he's been struggling. But I think in the draft, they'll address that receiver position.
So you think he's not number one receiver anymore?
Not anymore, no. He doesn't have that confidence, swagger, arrogant that the number ones have. Like,
you know, you think that's because of Matt Castle being a horrible quarterback and not getting the ball enough during the game?
I see him getting frustrated out there, but I think it's just that, and maybe his work ethic isn't, I don't know that personally, but
he's in the country.
First stories about his work ethic. You know,
he's in the St. Louis clubs.
Not
drinking with Nelly.
He lost his first couple of years in the league.
He's out with the St. Lunatics every week.
We'll see.
Doing the shimmies.
He's doing something.
Unbelievable.
But that, like, they're a good young team. The defense is playing tough. Tom Bahali was on block.
Who do you think is currently right now for NFL Coach of the Year? If the award was given out right now.
It's given out today. Well, Raheem Morris is done with the Buccaneers. But I feel they're going to fade. But they're a good young team as well, who I think next year will be a playoff team.
I would give the award to John Fox. He's out there starting his second round and his third round pick. His second round picks is the starting quarterback.
He's the mercy coach of the year.
His third round
so bad. Like,
his third round pick is so bad. Brandon will fall as their starting receiver.
He's so bad.
Give him the
floor. Jim Clausen, this guy is downfield wide open. His team is so bad. Todd Collins gave them 4 freebies, and they decided, hey, let's not get any points out of these.
And they haven't talked about it yet, but they are so bad at 0-5. Do you think they're going to win a game? We've got 11 more to do it.
They'll steal one. Every late year, somebody's like, man, we're out of playoffs. Let's not show up at Carolina. They'll scoop one out. But it's going to be hard for them to win a game. They're that bad. Watching them last week.
And Steve Smith is a guy that's going to...
He's got to come back and win the game, though. If
he's going to explode.
He can't play, then
no,
he's done.
He'll probably just sit out the rest of the year. Just sit out and let Brandon McFaul get some playing time.
Man, their receiving corps is so bad. The tight end's Jeff King from VTech. he's like a third-string tight end, and he's starting. There's some guys who are just guys who will barely make a roster
for
all their teams, and they're starting.
Oh, man.
They're like a really good UFL team right now.
That's what
they're bizarre.
Oh, but you want one more segment here. You want to talk about the best teams in the NFC?
Yeah, NFC, looking, it's really close right now. There's no team, I feel, really stepping out and just separating. Like, AFC has their elite teams.
Yeah.
No, they have their five, six teams. You're like, oh, this team can win the Super Bowl. This team can win it. NFC.
I'm still going to say that the teams I like are the teams that are buried and not playing to the potential yet, because we're not even at the midseason yet. So I still like Minnesota as one of the better teams. They're probably not going to get home field advantage, but with the talent that they have and the talent that's going to gel once they get healthier, when Sidney Rice gets back and Randy Moss gets more plays, they're going to have to do something at the cornerback position now.
Signed Frank Walker. That's not really positive, but I guess that's all that's out there on the street right now.
But offensively, they're going to be able to keep up. They're going to be able to keep up with teams. So I still think they're a good team. Maybe they'll get that third seed, third, fourth seed. Atlanta, they've got just too much talent on the line, so they might be a team that gets that second seed. And I really don't know. Well, it's rated number one team there.
Yeah, it really isn't one right now in the NFC, I guess. I like the Giants, though, these last couple of weeks.
Okay.
They've been a whole new team. They have three guys with over four sacks. Four sacks are over. Defense right now is tops in the league, stat-wise.
The team that got their momentum going? The Bears.
Yeah, the Bears. A whole bunch of confidence in them.
But
King Nix is a special player right now. He's playing real well. He could be a Pro Bowl receiver this year.
No, he will be.
Yeah.
But that's one thing that you have to commend Tom Coughlin for. It happened in Jacksonville. It's happened a couple times with the Giants. The team will get in a rut, and they're ready to can him. But then they'll just go on this resurgence, and they'll get these tough wins, and then all of a sudden just quiet to them. When it happened in 07 or 08, they just got on a roll, carried it to the playoffs, got the Super Bowl win. And when they started off 1-2 this year, that game against the Colts.
Yeah, after the Colts game, they looked so bad. James throwing a helmet.
Yeah.
It like
game against Tennessee.
Yeah.
The Tennessee game just made me think.
They
used to watch Mike Williams ranked number one. Holy smokes, my boy. Come on, Chiefs.
That's a network. Yeah, he's a good young player. I like Mike Williams.
I'll never stop praising
the end zone against the Bengals.
I'll never stop praising that guy because I watched him at Syracuse. He caught a touchdown.
Probably for that.
Nice.
Syracuse football.
He's 4-1. By the way, 4-1. About to win the Big East.
Also, they play in the Big East. I mean, that's the first. They play in the Big East.
The Big East. We'll talk about that in a moment when college basketball starts, too. But Mike Williams caught a touchdown in the Big East record 9 straight games. And right now, what does he have, 4 or 5 touchdowns already?
Yeah.
4? And he's
probably the best rookie receiver right now.
Well, there's no question about that. They're talking about driving best as probably rookie of the year. Why not Mike Williams?
Why not? I like him. I mean, driving best, though, is putting the nice stats in Detroit on a bad team who had a big one last week. But for them, I mean, they blew out.
I really think they need to start thinking about giving Mike Williams the award if he keeps playing the way he is. I'm pulling up his stats right now. Thought he had more than 3 touchdowns, but still, he may have 8 or 9. But
the touchdowns aren't easy ones either. You just get them over people.
Yeah.
Ball's been thrown up there by Josh Freeman. He's just going up there and getting them.
Yeah. All right, let's go ahead. We're going to our fantasy segment here. Unless you have any other section we want to talk about before we go into fantasy, let's go ahead and go into our gambling segment. And my last week on here, I went 2-1 with my picks. Kansas City should have covered that spread, ladies and gentlemen. I'm very sorry about that, and MGM's very happy. Because it cost me $180 parlay ticket. But, yeah, it was good. I had good picks all across the board. So Kansas City couldn't kick that field goal. They go for an onside kick and go for a 4th-and-3 in the first drive. What is that?
They're being aggressive.
And Dwayne Bowe drops a sure touchdown.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's what killed you.
Peyton Manning took back
the going for the onside kick and the 4th-and-3. He's just trying to limit Peyton Manning's possessions.
Limit possession, take the points. 3-3. I just didn't understand that, but the defense played great, and I was glad that I was even in it, because Matt Catherine played horrible like expected.
Yeah, he every week. He's telling that.
So, but, and you won 3-0 last week on your own air picks, didn't you?
Chicago one got me.
Chicago, Detroit, and who was the other one that you had?
I had 2-1. I was going with San Fran. They covered the spread, but
Oh, yeah. That one really got you.
Yeah.
The one that we do apologize for, being the hometown team, Cardinals. We said it was going to be
41-10.
I don't know how the world.
Like that in the first minutes of the game. It was 10-0.
Yeah.
Like, okay. 42-10. I'll probably 45-10.
The
Saints side, we won the game already. Let's not show up.
Yeah, they're in some trouble, the Saints offensively. But we do apologize for that. That's probably the worst pick of the year. But we're going to go forward with some spread picks for the week. Jabbar, go ahead and start off with a couple.
Liking the Jets over Denver, even though it's at Denver. But like I said earlier, Kyle Orton, when he gets into that red zone, he's not the same guy that got you there.
Yeah.
Like, he changes quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. He's going to force balls. He's going to... Not really force balls. He's too afraid to force a ball.
What's the
other check down?
What's the line in that game?
It's 3 points. Jets favored by three. Mm. And I think they'll win by a good 7 to 10 points.
I've actually got Denver +3 is one of my picks on this list. So we're going to... I just think... And you got some good points there. The angle I'm going to take here is Denver stayed in almost every game, even last week when they were... getting blown up by Baltimore.
They came back a little bit.
They managed to stay in the game. But this is a home game, and Mark Sanchez has yet to have that game where he's... It's bound to happen. You just don't go from the way he played last year to throwing 30 touchdowns and no picks. He's got 8 or 9 touchdowns, 0 picks.
It's going to happen, but Denver is missing so many guys who can put pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah.
Also, having missed Champagne's old. Robert Ayers is out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're just not looking like...
Well, it is.
I can stop anybody.
So you think they're going to win by 7 to 10 points?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I like the points there, and I think Denver could even get the win.
And also, I'm liking Tennessee over Jacksonville. Tennessee's 3 points favorite. Dave Garrard is going to have a rough week. Tennessee's D-line.
You just mentioned Dave Garrard.
Last week, but this week. Tennessee D-line is going to put hits on him, and Garrard is a guy. We sure get hits on him. He starts throwing the ball in the air. And that's been happening over and over again. And plus CJ2K. He's on pitch for that 2000.
Yeah. The one thing I like about... I really know about this. I was listening to Jim Rome today. David Guerrero was on there for a segment. That's a guy that never loses his cool. He'll go out there.
Yeah.
He plays He plays the way he wants to play. His breast cancer awareness month. He lost his mom breast cancer. He had Crohn's disease. I didn't know that. Fought through that. So... there's a guy that's going to fight through anything, so he's not going to be rattled. They're all of a sudden getting a running game. They've had three backs emerge with Rashad Jennings, MJD, and who's the Denji guy?
Raheem Denji.
So 6 round pick out of Southern Illinois. Yeah. So they've got this power game going, and Dave Wells will be having to throw for 160-170 yards a week.
He's been efficient the last few weeks. It's just Tennessee's D-lines are playing real well lately.
Yeah.
And I think they're just going to get too much pressure on them.
They gave up 500 yards against the Cowboys.
They did. I mean, that was, their DBs are bad. They're giving the passing yards, but Dex was not a passing team. They're one to bounce it out. Yeah. If they're more of a passing offense, I would feel, they're going to throw for 300-400 yards all over these guys, but they're not really a passing offense. They want to bounce attack, throw it, and I think Tennessee, if you get a good lead on Jacksonville, then it forces them to become a passing team, which they're just not.
Do you like the over in that game, then?
Yeah, that's a whole different bet than... Yeah, I'm liking that, maybe.
Let's see. I'm going to tell you what the over-under is in that game right now. Maybe you can change your pick here. But it's 45, the over-under.
45. Wow.
Well, speaking of that, there's a guy I started working for when I was 16, Wayne Allen over WinningEdge.com. I was a ghostwriter for Randy White and Dan Hampton.
Oh, wow. Well, they know what they're talking about, huh?
So they wanted me to write as a 16-year-old. I don't think they knew my age, but whatever, it's a good guy.
Got money. Well, the 45 points, huh? I have to say, go with the under.
No, the under?
I'd go with the under with that. That's a little high. It was like 38, maybe. Maybe. But.
I just think both defenses might struggle. So 45 could be a good one. Do you have any other picks there, Brad, before I go on the move?
I'm liking Baltimore to upset New England.
Okay.
I think Baltimore right now has New England's number. That playoff game last year.
What's the What's the spread in that one?
It's 3 points. Last time I checked.
And they're the underdogs, right?
Yeah, they're underdogs. I think at Foxborough.
Yeah.
Yeah, New England's bringing in Deion Branch this week.
Do you think Ray Rice's knee?
I think Ray Rice is going to hold up. I mean, they're holding out these first couple of days. As a running back, you really need to practice as much as other positions.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's precaution. Give him this Wednesday off. Bring him on Thursday or Friday. And he should be ready to go.
One thing I want to touch on before I go into my picks, because we really don't talk about special teams too much. We've had some teams just playing god-awful special teams. We're not going to talk about the Chargers. We talked about Miami last week. But I want to touch on New Orleans Saints. The stupidity of bringing in John Kearney just to have him miss 20-yard field goals, and then you get rid of him. Why doesn't they just, not the kicker, what's his name?
Hartley.
Hartley had a bad game, but he was a Pro Bowl kicker last year.
Dude, they panicked. I mean, they are so mad.
Bringing Kearney. John Kearney.
John Kearney played with, like, Rocket Ishmael, and Tim Brown, and Notre Dame.
Oh, my
That's an old man.
That's a game they should have won.
Down in college.
They played that bad, and if John Kelly doesn't miss that field goal, who knows what would have happened.
Yeah, I mean, the floodgates just open after that first quarter for the Saints.
John Kelly. But my picks this week, I said I do like the Broncos, Jabari. That was one of my picks. But I do have two short locks of the week. You've heard it here. Zach Simony. Take the Giants. We're still going to ride the Giants here. They're playing extremely well on the defensive side of the ball. They're going to play that pressure style. I told you last week to take them against Houston as a road underdog, and they came out victorious. Didn't even have to sweat it. You could have money-lined them. They're minus 10 this week against Detroit. Sean Hill probably playing again. Haven't heard anything about Stafford. He probably will play. And Sean Hill, even though he's been having great games, he's
thrown. They have been against the Giants' defense.
Yeah, and he's thrown about two picks a game. How many picks has he thrown this year? We'll take a look. Let's get stats on that. But Sean Hill makes mistakes. That's not one thing we have to even talk about. But the Giants' defense is just playing too well right now. I think they're going to shut down Javon Best. They just shut down Foster last week, held him to 27 yards rushing, who I told you to sit last week. But I do like the Giants.
They're like relentless D line right now, the Giants. They're just getting after quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And when you're in the head as a quarterback, after a while, you don't want to be there anymore. You start throwing the ball for grabs.
Yeah, Sean Hill right now has 7 interceptions on the year. I could see you getting a 10 by the end of this game.
It could be. If not, 11 or 12. He just starts out cold. He get angry immediately.
Yep. You think they bring in Henson?
No, those let Sean Hill take the beat. You throw hits in the game, you just wear the white flag. We lost this. Here's Henson. We give up.
That's why I was thinking it's going to get that bad. And Henson's going to be
if he is hurt, yeah, that's the only way.
It would be a 20-point win for the Giants. You heard it here.
Yeah.
And then the Saints, they just let us down week after week after week after week.
They're just really Super winners, so they're getting everybody's. Yeah, that's everybody's game, certainly. 10 days a week.
Yep.
Oh, we're the Saints. Super Bowl champs. They're going to get their A game. And Tampa Bay is right now playing
good. That's why I like Tampa Bay, plus the points, plus 4 right now. And every game they play them besides Pittsburgh is going to be a close game. Yeah. So Josh Freeman doesn't make the mistakes. And
NFC Offensive Player of the Week.
Yep. They know how to play the Saints. Play them all the time, two times a year.
So the games are always tougher in the NFL.
You just don't see Saints manufacturing the points with that poor running game. It shut down Drew Brees' vision to throw the ball down.
Yeah, I'm not saying that Reggie Bush has been, surprisingly, he's more effective than people give him credit for.
Yeah.
They're looking at their offense, things he can do as a linebacker in the back.
Well, and Pierre Thomas. Thomas out again, so they just can't run the ball. And it's
having that receiver at that backfield.
Drew Brees at 5'10", 5'11", he came out throw the ball.
Yeah.
So, but those are our picks for the week. Hopefully we do well for you again. We'd like to give you good solid picks so you can bet money and win money. Just make sure you're betting smart. And if you need help, go to my boy Wayne Allen, winningedge.com. Okay, let's go to our fantasy to segment starters and sit them. Start with your two starting quarterbacks, Jabbar.
Welcome back, Ben Roethlisberger. I'm liking against Cleveland D. It's not that good of a defense, really. I mean, they're letting everybody get in work against them. They're what? 18th ranked D in the NFL right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm liking Big Ben that one. his first game back, he's going to be anxious, fired up. I mean, he's in week one mode. Everyone else is in week six mode, five mode.
You don't see any rust at all.
The first couple series, but he's going to blow it away. It's Cleveland's defense. Yep. I mean, he's going to have a field day.
Colt McCoy versus Ben Roethlisberger. What if McCoy gets the win?
I would be so shocked. I'm
shocked in the series. If he throws a Max Hall.
And still,
this is the equivalent of that.
Pittsburgh D is so amazing, though. Like, I don't think Pittsburgh offense needs to even show up. Like, if Steelers defense play 16 minutes, they would outscore the Browns.
I didn't even look at the spread in that game.
It's a lot. I think last time I checked, it was about 13. Yeah. I mean, Pittsburgh defense is going to eat up Colt McCoy.
Yeah.
And Rashad Mendenhall is going to eat up Cleveland's defense.
Okay.
It's just looking like all... Ben's going to be throwing Heinz-Ward. Heinz-Ward and... Sort of a fantasy disappointment.
Yes.
Fans back.
Well, everyone has been. They had the worst passing attack in the league. So, who's your other quarterback?
Liking, you probably don't like this pick, but Mark Sanchez.
Oof.
Going against Denver's defense.
Oof.
No passers, though. They're not going to be putting pressure on this guy. He's going to sit back there all day. If they tell him second game back, he could be.
He's going to miss him.
He's going to have that rust, hopefully, knocked off. And Brandon Edwards and Dustin Keller. And throw him to LTL the backfield. You should have another no-interception game.
Yeah. Well, he could. I don't think he could have the yards, but I've never seen his mistakes have to start happening. The two quarterbacks that I like, though, it's probably the last time you hear me mention his name, Jay Cutler, against Seattle. Seattle, their defense is just poor. But one thing they're good at, I think they're 10th against the run, and then they're like 28th, 29th against the pass.
Which I'm not good against the Bears.
So I think Cutler's going to have to throw it a lot because obviously they've had one of the worst rushing attacks in the league. I mean, Fortes had some luck, but it's been a long run. So
Carolina's good for any kind of weaknesses, you know. Get the flu, go down
Seattle
Carolina right now.
Seattle?
I look here. No, I'm saying they played Carolina last week.
Oh, yeah.
Matt Forte ran wild against them.
Okay.
So that's what I'm saying. You know, his rushers last week were amazing. But it was Carolina, so I'll be fooled by that.
Yeah, Seattle can't stop the pass, so I think Jay Cutler, if he's out there, hopefully he will be. Ty Collins was demoted to third string, so...
Should have been demoted to a free agent. He should have paid to play last week. He should have caught about 50.
At least he'll be able to tell his kids I played in the game with 3-4 picks.
And we won by a lot.
What is up with that? I mean, this is like 2 or 3 years in a row where quarterbacks have this god-awful game when their team wins.
Yeah.
That's what DeMarcus Russell in their game said.
Derek Anderson had, like,
7-2
passes.
7-2. But, Jay Cutler, yeah, I do like him. And my other guy, Josh Freeman. There's a guy you probably haven't seen besides the Pittsburgh game, but,
don't judge that game. Pittsburgh D is relentless. Put Paul Mallow back there, Harrison Rushman.
Tampa Bay's not getting a lot of spotlights, and even in highlights, they're getting a few, highlights here and there. But Josh Freeman's playing poise. He's tall. He's got the body, the tools. He just has all the physical weapons that you like in a quarterback, and now he has the vision.
There's to me, he's like a lower middle class Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
You know, he does some things Ben does. He scrambles around the pocket. Not looking at wrong, but he'll scramble around. He's about 250, so he'll break a tackle.
Yeah, like a Dante Culpepper size. Yeah. But he's doing the right things right now. Running backs to start this week. Remember, these are under the radar guys, so the one mentioning guy here is definitely under the radar. Brandon Jacobs going against Detroit. Now, Detroit has been giving up points. One of the worst run Bs in the league. I mean, I don't go back and look at the games, but each week Detroit's been getting lit up on the run. I think Brandon Jacobs, they found this balance all of a sudden. Without my Bradshaw and Brandon Jacobs, they're getting about 50, 60 yards each game, and Jacobs' past 2 weeks, touchdowns. So he's back to being a fantasy-worthy guy from being maybe a flex starter. In certain leagues and in deep, deep leagues, maybe a second guy, but probably not. But I like him this week against Detroit. And my other guy, Brandon Jackson of the Green Bay Packers, going against Miami. Their defense been playing solid. But if Matt Flynn's out there, or even if Aaron Rodgers is out there, I think they're going to utilize their weapons offensively and be a decoy with the receiver and let Jackson run like they did against the Washington Redskins. So I think Brandon Jackson is worthy of a start.
I think it's the carries, at least.
Yeah, he will.
I'm not going to... Their rights have been a little banged up. But I like this New England. New England defense gave up 112 yards a game rushing.
Oof.
Their rights come off that big game.
And then what he did against the playoffs last year.
Yeah, exactly. Joe Harbaugh's going to smash New England. He's going to smash New England's offense, so I'm liking that one.
Okay.
And Green Bay's run D is, the pass is good. Clay Matthews leads the NFL in sacks. But the run D is
he going to play this week?
Yeah, it's a thing. Ronnie Brown, look like he's going to play this week. And if he does, I think he might have a breakout game.
What about that? How bad of a disappointment has Ronnie Brown been this year?
That's why I'm not giving a bounce back this week.
Okay.
I mean, what, they're coming off with a bye week.
Yep.
And hopefully he's refreshed. And he's been fumbling. Him and Ricky both been fumbling left and right. So hopefully they have that under control.
Yeah.
But I like him. He's a big fist with that.
So Adrian Peterson just hold a camp every summer now? We'll start barber the guys down there?
Tiki Barber Camp.
Tiki Barber Camp, how to start cheating on interns.
And how to stop fumbling.
Him and Steve Phillips were hosting.
See, this one adds.
Then Brett Favre might be there too after this game comes out.
Brett Favre have a class for 60. How to sex really bad. Brett Favre.
Him and Tiger Woods. Endorsement losses piled up.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That Wrangler deal.
No, look at his endorsement that he has. He has one for Wrangler, like Bass Outdoor Pro Shop, and then some gun company.
Yeah, so he's just doing all outdoors. Yeah, so he's saving those endorsements.
Oh, man. Okay, a couple receivers that I like this week. Santana Moss against the Colts. I like him. I think McNabb is just a deep bomb thrower. And against the Colts, it might not happen early, but it'll be a couple plays where Santana Moss slips into the secondary. It's been Armstrong the past couple of weeks. I think teams are starting to see that. They're going to spy him a little bit more in the deep coverages. So Santana Moss is every down number one receiver still. And who knows, maybe even Galloway sneaks in there. But Santana Moss, younger guy, I like him this week. And then
everybody's young compared to Galloway.
Exactly. And then my other guy, Josh Cribbs. Cleveland's not going to have anyone to go to this week but Josh Cribbs. Josh Cribbs might have to take 25 snaps behind center, former quarterback.
He might have to. Thought about that.
Josh Cribbs, because he's going to go down 100 all-purpose yards.
He's going to wildcat it.
They did it last year. Yeah, they had nobody in November. That, it pretty much cost Pittsburgh
network.
Cost Pittsburgh a playoff spot, practically. But I do like Josh Cribbs this week. I think he can get some things done for them.
I think with Randy Moss being traded to Minnesota, it opens it up for Percy Harvin.
Yeah.
He's kind of the new Wes Welker. He'll be in that slot.
Mm-hmm.
Your third corner can't cover him.
No.
He's just too fast, too shifty.
Yep.
I mean, Revis coming off an injury, wasn't 100% yet, albeit look kind of suspect.
Travis,
he should eat up.
How come Minnesota hasn't used Harvin more like they did last year with the Gator style offense, give him some snaps and runs behind center?
Yeah, I don't know. Brad Childress.
Because last year they used him.
Yeah, they worked. Yeah. I don't know what Brad Childress. I mean, they should use him. And we can play a little running back on third down. They're right now they're hurting by losing Chester Taylor. You see on the third down.
Yeah.
They don't have a true third down back. They could even use him in that when they get Sidney Rice back. You know, let him do a third down back a little bit. He's a tough guy. He can take little hits.
Mm-hmm.
They did to him to use him at four that way. And another receiver I'm liking is Akeem Nicks. He's got 36 fantasy points over the last two games. He's a big physical target. He's kind of like Fusco Bird, not as tall,
yeah.
But he's more a big Anquan Bolden type.
Might as well throw you on man and it lists where that guy's going.
He's playing Nicks. That's what.
Yeah.
Akeem Nicks has been playing out of his mind the last couple of weeks.
Do you think the Giants have the best three receiver tandem in the league now?
I think until Sidney Rice maybe comes back for Minnesota.
Yeah.
It's okay. Definitely up
there. I agree with that, actually. Okay, so sitting segment. We're going to breeze through this. Best sitting quarterbacks, Kevin Cobb against Atlanta on the road. I just see this is going to be a bad game for the Eagles this week. Probably a blowout. And Cobb, when he gets down, that pressure will be in his head. Oh, I got Vic behind me. Oh, this, that. Philly media in his head. You just don't want that. He really played good Sunday night, but I think it was more LeSean McCoy helping him out.
Oh, yeah, it's been
and then Alex Smith. The other guy. We talked about him. He's right there with Carson Palmer as the worst quarterback in the league, Matt Castle. I mean, this is the week that you probably would think you would start him against Houston, but it's still not going to throw for 200 yards. He's just that bad. So, Matt Castle, sit him.
Yeah, I like both those guys as well. And also, let me throw in there, Sean Hill. He's going against the Giants defense.
Yeah.
Number one statistic defense in the league now. You can have a rough game. I mean, you see the Rams defense 1 week.
So
any of the Giants.
So let's do it. This will be our projection pick right here, like we did last week, predicting the Saints and Cardinals. What will Sean Hill's interception total be? Week 7.
I'm going to be nice and say 3.
So he's going to have 10 picks total?
Yeah, he's going to end up with 10.
Yeah. I want to see him get the 10 before Stafford comes back. But one thing I want to say about Sean Hill, I think he...
A good backup, though.
He's a good backup, and there might be a few teams that are willing to get him as a starter.
I think he's a starter if you have that rookie, you're drafting a rookie quarterback, you don't want to throw him the fire yet. Yeah. He's a guy who come in for half a season to a full season.
Yeah.
And someone hold it down. The Niners definitely should have kept him. The way Alex Smith is playing.
But the quarterback situation in the NFL right now, there's some UFL guys out there. Dante Culpepper and Jeff Garcia. Why aren't more teams looking at these guys?
Well, right now they're under contract with UFL teams. I think there's
a couple more games left.
There's a couple more games left. So this is the end of November.
Do you think those guys will get signed?
Depends on how they're looking. If they dominate, you know, they just put ridiculous numbers, like over 100 rating. I think somebody will bring in as number 2.
Because J.P. Dolchman got signed.
Yeah. He's trash. So, those guys are definitely better than JP.
Okay.
Garcia and Dante.
Okay, so guys to bench at running back. I want you to bench Cadillac Williams against the Saints. I've been Tampa Bay. If they're going to make a move, I say they have to stop giving carries to Cadillac Williams and Ernest Graham. I want to see them shift it to LeGarrette Blount.
Yeah, he's real good. Powerful. Brandon Jacobson.
I put him on the waiver wire pickup for the week because I really think they're going to do it. They're going to give LeGarrette more. They're giving about 4 or 5 carries the last few weeks. I think they're going to start giving him more carries, and he'll be a starter. LeSean McCoy against Atlanta. I've got Kevin Cobb as my quarterback, LeSean McCoy as my running back. Might as well put all the Eagles players on there. I think it's going to be a real rough week for the Eagles this week. Really do.
And Harper on the Detroit team right now. Jonathan Bennett's having a great rookie year, but this Giants defense is just too tough right now. I don't see. Maybe they shut down Arian Foster. Mm-hmm. Who was leading the field in rushing, and they just made him look like nothing yet. But he didn't get fantasy points until late in the game.
Oh, wow.
I mean, he was just pretty much shut down. And if they did that to Arian Foster, imagine they're going to do to a rookie like Best. And also stay away from Peyton Hillis this week. He's just been solid all year right now. I mean, last week, he had another good, solid fantasy week. But they're going against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Peyton.
Defense, Cole McCoy.
And Peyton Hillis, this is why he was on so many waiver wires all year. And then he had a couple games and people started picking him up, but he's just going
to... He did good for me last week, but he's my spot starter. You know, yeah. I see the opportunity to throw him in there, I do.
Ball week, though.
Yeah. Peyton, right now, against Pittsburgh, it's going to be... Like you said earlier, Josh Cribbs is going to be the offense. Wildcat it to the Cosmo home. That's what he's looking.
Exactly. Receivers, my guy, Santonio Holmes. I think it's going to be a rougher adjustment for him to get acclimated to that offense. I think Jericho Koshery, Braylon Edwards, and Dustin Keller. Mark Sanchez is keen in on those guys. Some of those throws last week to Santonio Holmes, those were forced throws. Like, I'm going to quick slant this to Santonio Holmes no matter what. So I think it's going to be a good month before we see him being a fantasy-worthy receiver. And then Austin Collie's been red hot, but Washington has done a great job setting down teams, especially passing. And even though Manning had a rough game last week against Kansas City, and I kind of see that happening again this week. It's going to be a low-scoring game, a couple touchdowns by the Colts, but I don't think it'll be come through Austin Collie.
Also, with Garcon starting back healthy, it takes away from him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking, you know, bish DeSean Jackson right now. Kevin Cobb can't throw deep. That's DeSean Jackson's job. I mean, he's gotten, with Kevin Cobb at quarterback, he's gotten about 8 fantasy points in those 7 quarters.
It's very dismal.
He's a deep threat guy. Kyle can't throw deep. He can only check it down. And Brandon Lloyd. I know. Denver.
The one receiver in the league going to the Pro Bowl.
I'm wrong with that. It's early. It's early this year. Brandon Lloyd on a Pro Bowl roster just sounds funny.
But, did he make it a special team a couple years ago?
Probably so. But he might be on the island this week. Reeves Island, if healthy, Brandon Boyd. And
he's got that bad hamstring. You think
he's 95%, he can cover Brandon Boyd and shut him down.
Hmm.
Now then, it's going to be Kamariona, who's 6'2 and lanky.
Wow.
So it might be a tough one for him. Plus, the Jets are so aggressive. They're going to be blitzing or an all week. all day
just
long.
Like the Ravens did.
Yeah.
Is that all you got, bro?
That's about all I got.
I've got one more story to tell, because Joe's not here, but there's a story that happened last week. We're going after that boy, Kwaku's last hurrah before his kid comes, kind of like a bachelor party type style. So he's driving us back in his Mustang, and his truck next to us, we're like, oh my gosh, it's three people in the truck. You got this guy, a girl in the middle, and the guy on the side.
Wow.
The guy on the side is just drunk. And we knew it. He's just, you could tell, he's just leaning there. And then we're both going to a red light. And the truck driver, sober, revs up his engine. While he's in his Mustang, of course, he's going to rev his. So he revs his as well. The drunk guy gets out of his truck and just puts his hands in the air and then reaches towards his waist like he's going to do something. And the bad people are like, get back in the truck. And we're just sitting there. Like, is this guy serious?
So he just came out of the truck.
Yeah, he came out of the truck at a red light.
He's been waiting 5 years of the race? Or
he puts his hands in the air and then reaches down to his waist like he was some sort of gangster, but it was definitely a comical experience.
More funny.
Yeah, it was a comical experience, but that's it for MagistaGame.com. This is our fourth episode. We've got a good thing going here. We'll have Joe Lopat back next week and possibly Jason Muir as a guest host. So, Jabal, what do you have to say for week 6 coming up here? What are you really looking to see?
Looking to see Comico fail, probably. I mean, it's going to be rough out there.
Josh Cribb's getting the win?
They're not going to win, but he's going to have some touches.
One thing about that, for some reason, the past 2-3 years, Cleveland gets Pittsburgh's number for some reason. They play them tough and squeak out games. I don't know what it is with that. But we'll see what happens. Week 6, I'm glad we're flying through the season here.
The weeks are about fast during the fall season.
Yeah, we're about 4 weeks away from really getting a clear picture on what the playoff picture is going to shape up to be.
Season reports come out in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Let's see who's,
And we're going to have to start talking about the potential lockout, because there really hasn't been any talks about it. But can you imagine next year without football?
No.
We'll have to watch the UFL.
And those guys, they don't have defensive players.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll feel those top players.
So, but that's it for us, guys. We hope you enjoyed the show. Send us an email in the email address, notjustgame43@gmail.com. Signing off.
Peace.
Deuces!